You're listening to EAA Radio, the radio voice of AirVenture.
This is EAA Radio News. I'm Fareed Guillot. The Federal Aviation Administration has released the long-awaited final order that revises the amateur-built aircraft certification policy known as the 51% rule. This highly anticipated policy updates and clarifies the amateur-built aircraft building process. The change is a triumph for EAA, kit manufacturers, and builders who responded strongly to the first proposals floated by the FAA after ignoring recommendations from a committee comprised of FAA and industry representatives, including the EAA. Joe Norris, EAA's home-built community manager, sat down to talk with me and E-Hotline's Rick Reynolds about the new policy and what it means for your project. Thanks for joining us, Joe.
Thank you for having me. This is a very exciting time and some important information we're talking about.
Well, we talked about all kinds of things, 51% rule, ARC report. Sum up for us what has just happened. What has the FAA released?
The FAA has just released some updated and modernized, if you will, policy and procedures for the certification of amateur-built aircraft. This is the process that our builders need to comply with, and the FAA has to follow in order to certify an amateur-built aircraft, or a home-built, as it were.
Why were the changes made in the first place?
The FAA was concerned about a number of things. Mainly, the commercial assistance issue was a major part of this process. There's been, over the course of time, kits have been getting more complex, more complete, if you will, and the FAA is concerned that not only are the kits reaching the point where the 51% for the amateur builder to do is coming in question in some cases, but also that builders are taking advantage of people out there that were offering their services to help the builder build the aircraft. And the FAA was concerned that this help was getting to the point where the amateur builder wasn't actually building the aircraft, but was instead hiring a third party to do the building for them, which is not allowed by the rule.
A group of people was pulled together to make recommendations for this policy change. Who was all involved with that?
There was what the FAA calls a rulemaking committee, an aviation rulemaking committee, which was comprised of FAA representatives and industry representatives, EAA being part of that. There was a couple of the kit manufacturers were involved in that, and also a designated airworthiness representative from the field, as well as EAA representatives as well.
The first thing is the objective was builders were allowed to build and fly virtually any aircraft in specification and complexity.
That's correct. The actual amateur-built rule that allows us to build and certify amateur-built aircraft has no restrictions on it with regard to the size, speed, complexity, or construction methods used in the aircraft. And that rule was not changed, so we still maintain that ability to really use our imagination and build and fly just about anything that we can dream up.
And, of course, there's some people who are wondering about their current existing airplane. What about the grandfather clause? What grandfather clauses are there?
Right. That's a good question, because there's a lot of projects out there that are underway right now. And the FAA, in this new policy, did allow for grandfathering in or accepting those aircraft under the pre-existing policy if they were purchased before a certain date, and depending on whether that aircraft was or was not on the FAA's approved kits list, there's actually a flow chart that'll show whether those aircraft are grandfathered or not. So many of the kits that are under construction right now will actually be certified under the pre-existing policy rather than this new policy that's just been released.
Now, this new policy applies to both kits and plans built, or is it mostly focused on one or the other?
It actually applies to any aircraft that's certificated under amateur built. So scratch-built aircraft, plans-built aircraft, or kit-built aircraft would all be considered under this new policy.
So you address that, the standard uniform evaluation of kits, to make sure that all of the kits are being looked at the same way so that it's easier for the builder to determine whether they'll be able to comply with the new policy.
That's correct. Actually, the FAA took the steps of putting a team together specifically to go out and evaluate these kits. And that's really important because now we know that there will be standardization in how every kit is looked at. They'll have the same team of people under a specific set of training and a specific set of goals. They'll be able to go out and evaluate the kits so that we know that a kit evaluated in Washington State will be evaluated equally with a kit evaluated here in Wisconsin or down in Florida or wherever, rather than leaving it to the individual FAA offices to have a person in their office go out and do it, where there can be inconsistencies as how those people apply the policy. So it'll be across the board standardization in that respect.
Now we talk about the 51% rule. There was a talk about percentages in the new policy, right?
Correct. There was a procedure that was proposed whereby the builder would actually have to have a certain percentage within their 51%. There would be a certain percentage that had to be fabrication and a certain percentage that had to be assembly, and then some crossover where it could be either fabrication or assembly. That was dropped from this final document. The regulation itself does not require specific percentages, so the FAA decided that as long as they can determine that some assembly and some fabrication was done, they aren't going to worry about individual percentages.
Now let's bring in Rick Reynolds. He's going to ask a question. He has a question for you.
Those are new kit evaluations. The ones that have already been evaluated don't have to be reevaluated.
That's correct. The FAA determined that any kit that was already on their existing evaluated kits list would stay on the list without being reevaluated. It basically was grandfathered in. The kit manufacturer could request reevaluation. They're not exempt from that. If they wanted to modify the kit, update the kit in some way, they can have it reevaluated if they want. But as long as they leave the kit the way it was when it was originally evaluated, they do not have to be reevaluated. They are grandfathered in.
Okay, Joe. Define for me fabrication. We're not talking about picking out swatches here, are we?
No, fabrication, that was one of the problems with the old policy, was that fabrication basically had a very vague one-line definition, which was totally unworkable because any five people you'd pick could evaluate a fabrication item and say it is or isn't fabrication. Now they've actually come out with a very, very detailed definition of fabrication, which makes it very clear what is fabrication and what is not. So now, again, uniform across the board, everybody will be able to look at a certain operation on a kit and say, okay, that was fabrication or it was assembly. So it's very, very clear now what is fabrication, and that's very important so we can determine whether fabrication has been done by the builder or not.
Pilots like checklists. The builders have one too.
Yes, there is actually a checklist that the FAA has developed. It's actually a modification or a updating of the old original checklist where you can go down a list of tasks, and it is a task-based system. It doesn't matter how much time it takes or what tools you use. It matters what task you completed, and there's a checklist of tasks that the builder can go down and say, okay, the kit manufacturer did this task, and I, as the builder, am doing this task, and they can total up those tasks and come up with a percentage of how many fabrication tasks they did, how many assembly tasks they did, and how much was done by the kit manufacturer. So there's a way we can quantify where they are, where they stand with regard to the 51% that's required for the amateur builder to do.
Some people want professional assistance in their building project. This new policy defines what kind of participation a professional builder can have in your project.
Correct. The checklist also allows for another column where you can check off things that were done by a professional builder as builder assistance or commercial assistance. And the key there is that they can hire commercial assistance only up to the point where the amateur builder still does the major portion, which we call the 51%. So depending on how complete the kit was to begin with, there may or may not be room for commercial assistance to bring them up to where that 51% takes over and the amateur builder has to do the rest of it. So the 51% is still the amateur builder's portion, and they may or may not have room in that formula for commercial assistance to take place.
Is it now accomplished? The new policy is out. Have we accomplished all of these objectives we just talked about?
Yes, I believe we have. The new policy is very reflective of the comments that were sent in, the thousands of comments that were sent in by EAA members and amateur builders across the board. The ARC recommendations were taken into consideration, and we feel that this new policy that has been released not only is a victory for EAA and home builders, but also a victory for FAA because it gives them better tools so that the FAA can now go out and better enforce the regulation and make sure that everybody's working under the same set of rules.
So what documents are out there now? We have the ARC report, which is the actual committee report, and then we have the kit evaluation team report, which is the guidance for all the kit evaluators. The other two documents released today, which documents should builders slash owners be interested in?
Okay, the key document that the actual builders need to look at is the new advisory circular. 2027G is now the newest version of the guidance for the builder themselves to look at. It really walks them through step by step from actually starting the kit all the way through getting it certificated, and actually even talks about the flight test period and the repairman certificate. So it's a one-stop document where it'll talk about commercial assistance, it'll talk about the procedure for getting the certification done. Everything the builder really needs to know is combined into that one advisory circular, 2027G. The other document that was released is actually the document for the inspectors to use, which is the FAA order. They've made a new change to FAA order 8130.2F. That document is the Bible, if you will, that the inspectors, both FAA inspectors and DARs, use that tell them what they need to do to go out and certify an amateur build aircraft. So we have new guidance for the inspectors, and we now have new guidance for the builders themselves. So those two documents came out in tandem, and so both sides of the equation have new, better, more complete guidance to use.
As a DAR, can you give me your reaction to this?
Sure. Looking from the DAR side of things, this is actually a real benefit for us in the field doing the inspections as well. The checklist is more complete and is really more indicative of the current state of affairs in the kit market. That's a good tool for us to use. The fabrication definition is definitely a big, big help for us, because that really helps us look at a project and say, okay, we know that these operations were fabrication and these other operations were assembly, but now we know that there was, in fact, fabrication and assembly done on the project, which is what the regulation requires. So it really gives a lot more meat on our bones to help us go out and do a good, thorough, and again, across the board, more uniform inspection of all the different amateur build aircraft that are presented to us.
Certainly a clearer path for builders out there. Joe, thanks very much.
Thanks a lot. We're glad to get these documents in our hands and be able to go forward now.
Joe Norris is the Homebuilt Community Manager for EAA. For Rick Reynolds, I'm Fareed Guillot. This is EAA Radio.